From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. President Obama used his State of the Union message Tuesday to challenge Congress to focus on job creation and spending cuts. Mr. Obama also said that lawmakers should try to revamp the corporate tax system.
I'm asking Democrats and Republicans to simplify the system, get rid of the loopholes, level the playing field, and use the savings to lower the corporate tax rate for the first time in 25 years without adding to our deficit. It can be done.
Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann says the Tea Party movement has been waiting for the president to deal with high spending and the deficit.
Unfortunately, the president's strategy for recovery was to spend $1 trillion on a failed stimulus program fueled by borrowed money.
In the Republican response, Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan warned of fiscal disaster unless federal spending is brought under control. NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson says President Obama's speech was meant to set a vision for America.
He said, instead of refighting the battles of the last 2 years, let's fix what needs fixing and move forward. This speech was supposed to be about the future. Implicitly, it was going to paint Republicans as mired in the past, wanting to fight old battles, not looking forward to the future, how to make America competitive. It was supposed to show that he has a plan to make America number one again. I think the amount of nationalism in this speech that was kind of sprinkled throughout gives him a pretty good political template to work from over the next 2 years.
NPR's Mara Liasson in Washington. Washington Post columnist E.J. Dionne tells NPR that the State of the Union speech drew much of its inspiration from history.
British Prime Minister Harold Wilson almost 50 years ago talked about the great white heat of the technological revolution. That line could have fit into this Obama speech all those years later. The other reference, you don't get to refer to them very often on the air, it's a Whiggish speech. It sounds like Henry Clay's American system and Abraham Lincoln. Government can be used in partnership with private enterprise. So this is like the new American system.
Washington Post columnist E.J. Dionne in Washington. Egyptian police fired tear gas and water cannons to break up crowds of anti-government protesters in central Cairo Wednesday. At least 3 people were killed in similar clashes a day earlier in several Egyptian cities. The protesters are demanding that President Hosni Mubarak step down after nearly 30 years in power. The Egyptian uprising follows similar protests in Tunisia that forced President Zine Abidine Ben Ali from power earlier this month. Asian stocks are now trading mostly higher. Shares are up in Hong Kong and Shanghai, but down in Tokyo. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 3 points. The Nasdaq Composite Index added a point. This is NPR News. Lebanon's outgoing prime minister is appealing for calm after sporadic violence greeted the selection of a new prime minister that's being backed by Hezbollah. As NPR's Peter Kenyon reports, much of the violence was in the largely Sunni north of the country.
The northern city of Tripoli saw the largest protests after billionaire businessman Najib Mikati was named prime minister. Mikati is a Sunni Muslim, like his predecessor Saad Hariri, but most Lebanese Sunnis support Hariri. Mikati called on all Lebanese factions to join in ending the country's divisions, but Hariri's party said it wanted no part of a government that had the Shiite Hezbollah movement in a leading role. It's not clear yet what role Hezbollah will play in the new government. Hezbollah and its allies brought down Hariri's government after he refused to denounce an international court investigating the assassination of his father in 2005. Draft indictments, possibly implicating Hezbollah members in the killing, are being studied by a pretrial judge in The Hague. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
A government report says the Bush administration illegally used taxpayer money to send high-level government officials to districts where GOP candidates were in tight races. The report from the Office of Special Counsel says the trips by cabinet secretaries and others were improperly classified as official business. The office says no attempt has been made to recoup the funds. Chicago's highest court says it will decide whether Rahm Emanuel can run for mayor of Chicago. The court says Emanuel's name must appear on the mayoral ballot until it issues its ruling. Chicago elections officials printed hundreds of thousands of ballots without Emanuel's name on them after an appeals court ruled on Monday that he did not meet a city residency requirement. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News, from Washington.